article states, "Many white students simply believe that competing with Asians, both Asian Canadians and international students, requires a sacrifice of time and freedom they're not willing to make. They complain that they can't compete for spots in the best schools and can't party as hard as they'd like. Too bad for them, most will say. Asian kids, meanwhile, say they are resented for taking the spots of white kids." So I'm here with Florence Lee, the project coordinator for the Chinese Canadian National Council of Toronto chapter, and she is one of the main organizers behind Two Asian Talkback, a group that was made in response to the McLean's article. Again from McLean's, they say, "White students, by contrast, are more likely to choose universities and build their school lives around social interaction, athletics, and self-actualization, and yes, alcohol. When the two styles collide, the result is separation rather than integration."
Journalists have a really, well, the one power that they have is the power to include or omit information, or omit certain people, and that's exactly what they've done. Of course they've interviewed people who support that question that they're asking, because this is the conversation that they want to create, right?
The article does quote, and I wrote this quote down because it stood out to me so much as this kind of multi-culti, it's a quote from the provost of U of T. And she calls Canada the Rainbow Nation, where she says, "Diversity has enriched these schools." So how do you respond to a statement like that that's being cited in this piece?
I think the administrators know what a cash cow international students are, and so for them to pretty much silence those voices and say, you know, we have people from all over the world and we all live harmoniously, like, that's the kind of message that they want to send. But there are students who aren't happy, there are students who don't feel welcome, and there's no space and no support for those students. And by saying that, that's just basically doing what McLean's is doing, just silencing.
How does representation of Asians in student governments, or representations of Asians in position of power at all, affect this phenomenon?
I mean, I think when you just look at the real world, it's apparent that there aren't that many Asians in power, but it's really indicative of the fact that you can study your butt off in school, you can get 4.0 GPA, you can get a great job, but once you get out there, there is that Asian, the bamboo ceiling, I think that's what they call it. You know, so this idea of meritocracy, that this
article... What's the bamboo ceiling?
Basically how Asians can work their way, can be a really good employee, but you reach a certain point where you can't go up because maybe they see you as less authoritative, maybe not valued as much in terms of a managerial role. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this phenomenon, or this kind of observation that McLean's is making, is unique to Canada?
I don't think it's unique to Canada. It's something that happens pretty much all over the world, where there are minority groups, and I guess you kind of have to have a scapegoat, and people do feel threatened. And the way that they're pitting white students against Asian students, it's just, they're basically perpetuating that anti-Asian sentiment, and that kind of racism is all over the world. It's not just in Canada, and obviously this isn't the first time that we've heard of this, right? Mm-hmm. So the way that it keeps coming back up is just we're never going to be seen as Canadian, or we're always perpetually foreign.
What kind of harm or what effect does this have on the Asian student?
I think it makes the Asian student much more aware that they are Asian. And because Asian is equated with you don't belong here and you are not white. And that's something that is apparent to I've been aware of this for many years, but for some people, when you get to university and kind of start noticing these differences, and it does affect the way that professors might treat you, how your classmates might see you, then you become self-conscious of how you're represented. And this McLean's article is basically telling you this is who you are, and So it's as if you have something to prove now. You have to go there and be like, I'm here because I worked my butt off and I deserve to be here. But there are people thinking that, you know, that space is rightfully theirs and that we're taking something from them.
I think space is a very poignant issue to bring up, and how space relates to systemic power and institutional racism or institutional discrimination. How do these viewpoints, as latent, as nuanced, as, you know, supported by facts as they are, how does it go to further perpetuate these stereotypes? The McLean's article notes that Asian students work harder is a fact borne out by hard data. They tend to be strivers, high achievers, and single-minded in their approach to university. But where is this hard data coming from? How is this article going to go down in history, in Chinese-Canadian, in telling the Chinese-Canadian story?
I think just like the whole W5 campus giveaway controversy that happened 30 years ago, this is sad to say, but I would not be surprised if this happened in another 30 years.
This is part of the public outrage that followed a CTV telecast in the fall of 1979, a W5 item charging that Canadian universities are overcrowded with foreign students, particularly with Chinese students. The program was so insulting, its facts so distorted, and its assumptions so racist, that protests immediately came from ethnic groups, universities, and governments. Leading the protest was Toronto's Chinese community.
You're doing what every other minority group has had to do, whether it was Irish, or whether it was the Jews, or whether it was the Indians, or the blacks, or any other groups had to do. That is to face the fact that in this society, there's a great deal of bigotry.
In terms of W5, it keeps coming back up because of the similarities, and at this Youth Coalition meeting, we actually had two people who were involved with the W5, like strategic planning, who kind of talked to us about the similarities and the kind of tactics that they use in terms of mobilizing demonstrations all across Canada.
I would like to show you what happens when television journalism lapses into irresponsible journalism. On September 30th, 1979, the CTV program W5 aired an item called Campus Giveaway. This is how it began.
A scenario that would make a great many people in this country angry and resentful. Suppose your son or daughter wanted to be an engineer or a doctor or a pharmacist. Suppose he had high marks in high school and that you could pay the tuition, but he still couldn't get into university in his chosen course because a foreign student was taking his place. Well, that is exactly what is happening in this country, but hardly anyone wants to talk about it.
McLean's article states, many white students simply believe that competing with Asians, both Asian Canadians and international students, requires a sacrifice of time and freedom they're not willing to make. They complain that they can't compete for spots in the best schools and can't party as hard as they'd like. Too bad for them, most will say. Asian kids, meanwhile, say they are resented for taking the spots of white kids.
What has made a great many people angry and resentful was the racism that ran through this whole W5 item. To begin with, international students are not taking places from Canadian students. This is clear in reports published by Statistics Canada, in studies done by Canadian universities, and in a comprehensive up-to-date report released by the Canadian Bureau for International Education. Yet with all this information available, W5 went on to say this.
It's not hard to understand why the public hasn't been given a chance to debate the foreign student problem. The statistics that show it is a problem aren't easy to find.
Interesting, because who are those people going overseas recruiting international students? I was in Hong Kong when I was applying for universities, and they recruit hard. And they know that international students will pay a lot, and if you're paying that much money to be here in this country, of course you're going to work hard, because you're paying 3-4 times the amount the local students are paying. And you're away from home, and your parents are pretty much supporting you to basically come home with this piece of paper that's going to say, I can survive in this world. I mean, I'm not dying to be seen as Canadian, but the fact is we all are here, and we all have a right to be.
Do you think there are added boundaries now or barriers for Asians to get access to education?
I think the good thing is that it is getting people talking, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it might be suggesting in people's minds, like, well, my son didn't get into U of T. Is it because of those Asians? Okay. That sense of entitlement. Who says that that spot is yours, you know? I think the danger in seeing all Asians as model minority is that it ignores, first of all, the diversity of the community, and also, how about those who aren't high achievers? You know, there are students that drop out and who don't have the means to be able to go to the top universities or to even afford those universities. So you can go into a whole class analysis of this article mm-hmm. and how it basically clumps all Asian Canadians into this sort of upper middle class who have the money to support their children and will do anything, like whatever it takes for them to survive.
Woke up and realized I was free to be anything. If it was an integrity with what I dreamed, I knew it couldn't be wrong, and it would be done. I was born to be Earth's song.